Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome back to another podcast by the Jules Fancast. Today we are joined by a man who, of course, won the League Two title under Martin Allen. Went on and played 104 times for the Jules, scoring 20 goals. He's going to talk about all these stories from pre-Jules, during Jules and after Jules. We are joined by Chris Whelpdale. Firstly, Chris, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well. Firstly, Chris, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No problem. Chris, let's start prior to Jules then. Tell me how you got into the game.
So I think actually tennis was my first ever sport actually when I was growing up. I was following my brother with whatever he did, and he sort of moved over to football when he was about 8 years old. So I said, oh, okay, I'll have a go at that as well then. And I think when I was, how old was I? Maybe 10, I think I got scouted by Norwich City and went through their training regime there. Then I went over to Arsenal for a year or two and then went to Ipswich Town for 4 years, and I didn't get a scholarship there. I got told I wasn't good enough to be a professional footballer there, so that's when I dropped down into sort of non-league and sort of worked my way up from there. The club that I went down to was Billericay. And so I was at Billericay for a year. And then I sort of, got scouted by Peterborough United. And that's when my first pro move come from.
Yeah, you talk about, of course, dropping into non-league. See a lot of youngsters these days that could take that and hit them quite hard and end up falling out of love for the game, really. What was it about yourself that thought, no, actually, I'm gonna make a go of this and went down to Billericay?
Yeah, I think, like, when I was told that it's just I wasn't gonna get a scholarship, obviously it was tough, it was hard to take. But I kind of wanted to prove people wrong, actually, that I was like, I have got it what it takes to sort of become a professional footballer. And I can see some people going the other way and going, oh, they've told me I'm not good enough. Okay, I'll go and try something else. But that wasn't sort of like the kind of person I am. I didn't want to just give up on something just because someone said, no, you can't. Went away and worked harder. And I actually think going and playing non-league actually can benefit players at a young age, getting to play against adults and learning that side of the game, being tougher, and I think it really, really helped me, and obviously helped me progress to the career that I eventually had.
Yeah, like you say, you played 37 games. 37 games, scoring 14 goals for Billericay. That propelled you into the Football League, signing for Peterborough in 2007. Tell me how that move come about to Peterborough from Billericay.
I had quite a good season at Billericay. I really enjoyed myself there. Doing somewhere else, sort of always look back at the results, and I'm actually after playing against them recently. Obviously, I've been playing for Champs City now, and I've been playing against them, which is quite weird going back there. But we had a really good season. Actually, we got into the playoffs in the Ryman League. It was back then in the Ryman League. And we lost the final. So my last game for them was in the playoff final against Bromley, and we lost on penalties, which was a blow. So it was sad to go out on that game with that defeat. I've scored 14 goals that year from right wing, and I had quite a bit of interest actually from, I think, from Southend, from Swansea and Peterborough. And it was something about Peterborough that sort of caught my eye. They're quite an ambitious club with a new chairman, Darren McAntony, and it sort of gave me a chance to go and live away from home as well at a young age, and sort of like, a good life experience as well for me to sort of grow up. So that's the reason why I chose Peterborough.
Was it, you obviously mentioned Darren McAnthony, and he's got quite a reputation from picking up footballers from non-league. Was that the kind of draw that he was taking that ambition and that plunge for young players to develop? And you saw Peterborough as a club that where you was going to develop.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, they're a very ambitious club, and you've had the likes of McLean, who comes from non-league, Craig McElsmith, George Boyd, all those kind of players they sort of took a gamble on, and so it was something like that sort of led me to there, and I'm glad I made that choice.
Yeah, you obviously were very successful there. Securing promotions. What was that like, securing promotions at League One level?
It's a bit of a whirlwind, really. It was like my first two seasons of professional football, got back-to-back promotions from League Two to League One, League One to the Championship.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this football is easy. But, it doesn't always happen like that. But we had a fantastic team, a young, ambitious, hungry team. With a lot of quality in there, with a great manager as well. So all those things together, it was only guaranteed for one thing, really. So and it was a great learning curve for me. I did actually start the first game of that season, which is I was quite surprised about. That's obviously coming into it. But I learned a lot in that first year, and then went on to play in League One as well. And it was amazing to sort of start playing at bigger stadiums and sort of like in promotions. Yeah,
you talk about the type of players that you played with at Peterborough, and yeah, with the back-to-back promotions. Did you kind of I know you obviously make a joke out of football life's easy, but did you kind of know with the characters around you that that Peterborough side were always going to be successful?
I really did, actually. And another thing that I thought that really helped, and obviously people say about like team bonding and all that, and sort of being together, all of us were really quite young and new to it all, and we all kind of lived like in kind of the same estate, and we saw each other all the time. We'd be training together, we'd go home, we'd go to each other's houses, and we'd cook for each other, and we'd spend so much time together. I think we had that real connection and that real bond, and I think that really, really did help with our success at Peterborough.
Yeah, because they say a lot now that dressing rooms being successful is how much you are together, and a dressing room being together, and teams that sometimes are not always successful are the ones that just kind of turn up to training and keep themselves to themselves. Do you think that was instrumental, you being as successful as you was?
I really do think that helped, yeah, definitely. But then, obviously, at other teams I've been at, we've sort of people travel in from quite far, and they get their job done and they go home, and you don't really see everyone. But, I definitely think that did help with the success that we had, definitely.
Yeah, then you arrived at, of course, us, the Gills in 2010, initially on loan with let's say your best mate Charlie Lee. what attracted you? How did the move come about from the Gills, and what attracted you to the club?
Yeah, so at the time I was struggling with an ankle injury. I'd been out for a while, and then Dan Ferguson left the club, and who was it to come in? Gary Johnson come in. And I was just coming back to injury. He said, I think you should go and get some minutes, get some games. And Gillingham were interested. So, yeah, that's why I came out to Gillingham in the first place. And obviously it went off really well. Really liked the place. He was actually closer to home. I'm from Essex. So it was really close to sort of my family home as well. So it just hit off really well. The change room there was like, I really enjoyed everyone's banter in the dressing room. Now, I know that sounds a bit silly, but yeah, to have that in a dressing room is actually quite important.
And who were the big characters during that time?
So at that time, Aki Femmel was there at that time. Who else was there? Julian, the goalie.
Yeah, Alan. Yeah, Alan Julian. Yeah,
yeah. He was a great character. Andy Bartram.
Yeah. Conor McDonald.
Yeah, exactly. So all those kind of people. And we were a bit gutted to go back, actually, after the four games.
And, well, yeah. we'd not won away for 18 months when you turned up, and then you and Charlie had rocked up, and we'd won two on the bounce.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
And we didn't really want to go, and the rest of the players were saying, please try and come back, but we couldn't get that sorted. But eventually, at the end of the season, we managed to get that move and come back.
Yes, you did. You and Charlie secured permanent deals in the summer of 2011. You both come back. It was like you were coming in as a package deal. Was it a case that was you going to come back? Because a lot of people said, they weren't going to come together, or without one they wouldn't come. Was it a case that you were going to come back? Without Charlie, or was it a case that if Charlie was going to come back, you were going to come back? What was it?
I think it was sort of more individual. I think I might have actually signed just before. I'm not sure. But we definitely sort of had discussions about it. That we were both really keen to go back there. It was a good club, and we had a great time there in that four games that we played. So it was more of an individual thing, I think. I think I actually signed before him.
I think you did. Yeah.
He was probably being a bit fussy.
Probably his goal bonus when he never scored.
Yeah, he probably didn't agree with goal bonus. it's a good decision. I'm glad that I made that decision.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did too, because you went on to make 104 starts for the Jewels, scoring 20 goals, but obviously movement at Jills was you winning that League Two title in 2013 under Martin Allen. Come on, tell us about that season. What was that like?
Oh, it's one. Well, you can't really forget that year coming out as champions of the league. That was a great year. I don't know where to start. It's like saying stuff about that year.
Let's start at the start. Let's start right at the start of the season, where
we were unbeaten for 10 games, weren't we?
We was, yeah.
Yeah, and I think after that, it was quite funny. You know, we went into a meeting with just before training with the gaffer, and he was saying, he sat down. He was he's one of the funniest managers I've had, actually. Like, most enjoyable. You never sort of knew what was going to happen in the session, because he was always up to something new and something crazy. I don't know how it'd be if you're in sort of relegation battle, but we were playing well, and it was brilliant. But I remember this one sort of meeting we had with him, and I think we were on 10 games on a bounce, and he came in and he just went, "Boys, if we can continue this form, we'll have 115 points or something like that." He said, that's a record. We can do this. We can do it if we keep this form going. And everyone sort of looked at each other and sort of laughed a little bit, but he was sitting there going, the straight face.
He was deadly serious, wasn't he?
Yeah. that was quite a cool moment. I don't think we went and lost the next game, but that was quite funny.
When we started the season, he come in. He then brought obviously his own players in. With players that had bags of experience. Looking at obviously Stuart Nelson's, your Adam Barrett's, Danny Kedwell obviously come in. You then go through the midfield. Obviously Charlie arrived. It was bags of experience right through the team, wasn't it? Obviously, Joe Martin at fullback. Then you had Matt Fish. Dion Burton that had been there and done it.
Yeah.
If you look at those type of players, did you kind of know that we were on for a successful season?
With the experience that you have, you'd like to think that you've got a good chance, especially with Adam Barrett, skipper as well. He was the rock of that team, mm-hmm. Just with his experience, his voice, and his know-how of the game. He really led us on during that season. With that experience and that little mix as well with the young, hungry players that want to progress in the game, with Bradley back knocking on the door,
mm-hmm.
during the season, players like that, you sort of know that you're onto a good thing.
Yeah, you talk about Bradley Dack there. Did you obviously he was knocking at the door at the Gills at the time. Did you kind of know that he was going to go on and do what he's done?
Well, we all knew he had something special. Yeah, he was always coming through from the youth team, scoring bundles of goals, and that's what he's known for. And he always found it, like at the start, he struggled to get that goal. He had quite a few chances, but once he did get one, he kept on coming. But yeah, we always knew. We could see in training at a young age that he had something special, and thankfully he's gone on to go and achieve bigger and better things.
Yeah, let's flip it towards the end of the season then. When did you kind of know that you were gonna? You were in that category of you potentially had the chance of winning the league. When did you feel as a squad that it hit home that it was there?
Do you know what? I can't remember. I can't remember that one in particular point where we were like, you know what, we've got this. I think was it Wimbledon at home that we.
Yeah. You won the league at Wimbledon at home. We secured promotion against Torquay at home.
That's the one. Yes, yeah. But I think you don't know until it happens. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to jinx it at all. You don't want to get ahead of yourself.
Of course.
It's like that saying: you take game by game, day by day, kind of thing. And I think that's what sort of puts you in good stead, really. Like, if you have that sort of mentality during the season, not getting carried away, I think that helps with your progression and going up the table. So I think it was that Torquay game at home that we finally got promotion, but we weren't allowed to we did celebrate, but we weren't allowed to because we wanted to go and win the league. The manager was saying, look, we don't slack off now, we want to go and win the league now. And we had to carry on and do exactly what we were doing through the whole season and carry on. It wasn't time to celebrate. We wanted to go and get the gold medal.
Any funny stories from that year that you can say? You can actually tell?
there's one at training. I say the stories with Martin Allen. We used to get changed at the ground and then drive down to the training ground. I used to cycle every single day, and then he'd cycle down his helmet and his training gear. And I think we started the session before he had actually arrived, and he sort of trotted over on his bike with his helmet. And then he sort of put his bike down, and we were doing like set plays or something about heading, like certain headers and stuff. And someone went up to do a header, completely missed it, and he went, "What are you doing? This is how you do it." And he still had his helmet on, come into the middle, someone's whipped the ball in, and he's just gone up for a header with his helmet on, smashed the ball, and I don't think it went in, but it was so funny. So, yeah, one of those things.
Hilarious.
Happened, yeah.
We talk about, like, that year probably being, well, certainly in my lifetime, being the best year. Of course, we then, we secure a promotion up to League One. Martin, unfortunately, got relieved of his duties in the October, and it never quite kind of hit the heights that we'd all wished it did in League One. What do you think went, not wrong, but didn't quite go our way that year after?
I don't know. Sometimes it can be tough going up and sort of dealing with the sort of the change in leagues. I don't know. I think we recruited new players and we kept quite a big bunch of our existing squad as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I can't pinpoint exactly why it didn't work out in that year. I was a bit gutted in a way because of the success that we had the year before. But as a football club, if you're sort of not getting the results and stuff and things aren't going your way, it's quite quick to have that turnaround these days, and it's quite easy for them to just go, right, we need to find something else and have them work out how to do it. Go on.
Yeah, of course. Unfortunately for you, you then You then left the Jills and went and signed for Stevenage.
Yeah.
In total, you had a mini spell in between that at Wimbledon. But in total, you played roughly about 97 times for Stevenage. Between when you left Jills and now. What was it? How did it come about? What was it about Stevenage that attracted you to the club?
I had a sort of meeting with Graham Wesley actually, and it's kind of heard quite a lot of stories about like him being a very like hard working manager and put his players through his paces and this and the other. And I was just intrigued to see what he sort of had to say really. And and when I met him, I was like, this guy's he talks really well and he's quite you could sort of, I don't know, he's like, he spoke a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it sort of really attracted to sort of go and want to work for him.
Okay.
And I sort of obviously made that decision to do that. It's a decision I'm sort of glad that I did make. I learned quite a lot in that year playing under Graham Wesley. It was a tough regime that he had. And actually after the first season I did struggle with a lot of groin injuries which set me back quite a bit. I don't know if that was to do with any of the overloading sessions that we did with his training or not, but that set me back quite a bit and that sort of carried on over to Wimbledon as well.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able to sort of play as many games as I'd like to at Wimbledon.
Yeah, we're obviously we'll talk about your current time now, and we'll finish off at your current time. Your current club, you're back home, you're back in Essex. You're at Chelmsford. How's that going? Tell us a little bit about that.
Do you know what? I sort of went into Chelmsford. I was actually training with Crawley last summer it was, and with Harry Kuehl. And I was playing quite a few games for them in the pre-season and it was going really well, but then we got told that he had to get rid of a few players to get me in and so he said you might have to wait a bit of time. So I went and I wanted to play games. So I went and sort of joined Chelmsford. It was my closest team really. I'm not a bit rookie.
Yeah.
went and sort of played a few games there and it was quite tough to take at the start, like going from full time to part time.
Yeah,
it was a transition where I wasn't quite ready for it at that time in my career. I didn't think I still felt I had more to give in the league. So at the start, it was quite hard to take, but I started to really enjoy it. There's still the same buzz in the dressing room with the boys. Obviously, you don't see them as much because it's only part time football. And they're a really well-run club as well. They tried to do it as professional as they could. Nick Haycock, who's assistant there, he's sort of been at West Ham, so he sort of knew how he wanted to sort of make it as professional as he could. And it was quite a good transition for me actually. And I sort of did pretty well in my first season. I got over double figures scoring. Happy with how it's going at the moment.
Yeah, of course, only recently there's been a change of manager in Robbie Simpson. How's he been and what's it like playing under him?
Yeah, so that was a bit of a shock actually that we had to change of manager because we were like 12 games unbeaten at the time. So it was a bit of a shock to the players. But Simo's come in and done really well. I sort of got a phone call after the next couple of days from him saying, "Oh, obviously I'm sort of gonna take it over as interim for a little bit. So will you be able to help me?" So I was like,
"Okay,
yeah." Me and Dennis Spiller, Mickey Spillane, sorry, there to help him with training and sort of getting team selection and things like that. So I sort of was there to help a little bit in that respect. So that was quite interesting.
Yeah, but are you planning to go into coaching?
few coaching badges, but I don't know at the moment. I am doing a little bit of coaching at the moment, but it's not something I've really sort of delve into to sort of go down that route. But I'll keep my doors open.
See yourself as a future manager or not?
No, definitely not a manager.
you kind of be the man and manager arm round the player, yeah?
Yeah, but I definitely don't want to be a manager.
Not going to take a leaf out of Martin Allen's book, no?
assistant and be a coach or something like that.
No, perfect. Go on, Chris, what are you going to say?
No, that's it.
Yeah, perfect. That is a wrap for this special feature on the podcast. This is a new series that we are bringing to you on the Jules Fancast. We've got a number of ex-players and coaches lined up coming your way. Thank you, Chris, for your time.
Thank you very much. It's great to be involved.
No problem. As ever, thank you for listening as always. Keep supporting, keep liking, keep listening to us. We appreciate your support in these tough times. And we'll bring you much more content. Thank you as ever.